All right, Wednesday evening, 2/9/22. Fairweather Saints is the name of this one. Fairweather Saints. All right, let's look at some scriptures. Jeremiah 12:5 says, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearieth thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan?" We're going to read some more scriptures. Luke chapter 14. "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, The man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Tough word, right? We've been through a couple of really hard weeks, but like I've brought up before, we're going to have to view this as... How did I put it to you? Do you remember? Wounded in battle. Yeah. Wounded in battle. It goes with the territory. It's just part of it. I'd like to say that no, it isn't. It's all going to go away. But after going through this for many, 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 many years, I'm beginning to realize, Lord, this is really the normal way it is, isn't it? This is really the way it is. Why? Because we're going against the grain of things. And right now, whether others believe it or not, I don't know, don't really care. I believe we're in that last day battle. I mean, we know right now that our earth is being taken away from the evil and restored back to the people. Worldwide, it's happening right now. And so with that, we're running the deep state out, whatever you want to call them, the minions, the demons, whatever. And when you make a decision, I'm going to follow the Lord, then you go against everything that's evil and you're targeted. I was listening to somebody today that was talking about they had written a book and they had to take it off the market because they had been targeted. I'm thinking, yeah, I know what you're, I can understand what he's talking about. Yeah. This happened to be about end times too. So you think, all right, Lord. We have to sit down and we have to count the cost and think, okay, Lord, are we in it for the long haul? Or is there some point that we decide, well, I'm out of here? Well, let's keep going. There is a reason that God's army is a remnant. There be few that will actually do what they say. I think many, especially in this area, have come and gone with good intentions. But when things got hot or they didn't see what they thought they ought to see, they hauled out of here. And then they talk about how awful it is out in this area. Maybe the Lord wanted them to stay and fight, do you think? I figure if they had a call to this area that God would want them to stay and fight. Yeah. All right, now turn to Judges. I don't like it any more than you do. But it's naive to think that when you're effective, I'm going to give this on intel, but I heard Robin Bullock say this. He said, it takes 60 witches to curse a Christian. And he said, then a Christian can turn that right back on and stick that demon on those 60 witches. That's how powerful we are. See, we don't hear about that kind of thing. We don't hear about how they're so afraid of us. They don't want to be messing with us because they know they can't win. They can't even come through these portals unless we allow them to. And that's something we need to be speaking, is these portals that these things are trying to come through. Obama, they opened a portal in 2015. They even did a show. And it showed Baphomet coming up out of the pit. This was at CERN. I need to go watch it. It was televised. They were seeking to open a portal. They were even calling him the Antichrist. And then he makes a statement later, maybe we were about 20 years too early. See, that's how these things come in and out of the earth, is these opening of these portals. That's why they have these satanic sacrifices and all these things that they do. But you know what? They can have all they want. But if we're on top of our game and we're saying, no, you're not opening any of those portals. There's talk that they're trying to open another one on 2/22/22. I thought, not on my watch, you're not. See, there is a cost. There is to count when it comes to deciding, I'm going to follow the Lord. Okay, Judges 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And they returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Let all the other people go, every man unto his place. I personally believe when this is all said and done, and if there's a showing of who did what, we're going to see a Gideon army that did what they did, stood in the gap. All right, God only used the 300, the ones that would not run from the fight, the ones that were cautious. All right, not only is God looking for those that will stay the course, he's also looking at attitudes. There wasn't anybody any more versed in this than Paul and what he went through and what his team went through. Anybody associated with him went through it. In fact, all the disciples died for their faith. Except John, they say, but I'm not sure about that. See, we've got to start viewing it. The Lord said to me, you don't view things right. Every little thing that comes against you, you just fall apart. I'm thinking, what in the world? What in the world is going on here? You're in a battle. That's what's going on here. You're doing warfare. That's what's going on here. This is what it looks like. No, it's not some demon walking in with his pitchfork and horns. It comes in disguises. All right, Philippians 4. It's kind of like signing up for the military, and they put you on assignment, they put you out in the field, whatever. And they expect you to perform. To me, this is the way it is in the Lord's army. It's like the military. All right, this is Philippians 4:11. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I've made the statement and I mean it with all of my heart. I never want anyone to know that I'm going through anything. I want them to look at me and think, she ain't got a care in the world. Well, we shouldn't. We're not supposed to take care. We're not even supposed to care about our own life. It says, don't care about what you eat, what you drink, what you wear. For your Father cares about you. He's well aware of what you're going through. All right. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In other words, what I go through does not change my attitude and how I act. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But right here, look at verse 14. Notwithstanding, you have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Everyone knew what Paul went through. But he could make these statements. Content means to be contented. Duh. To be contented. Even if you're in pain, even if adverse circumstances are facing you in the face. It did not end for Paul, but he stayed the course against all odds. All odds. And from what I understand, he lived to be in his 90s. All right, 2 Corinthians 11. I don't know how old he was when he came to the Lord. Haven't ever really looked into it, actually. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 16, I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I'm bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I'm not weak? Who's offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Didn't seem to matter what he did it? He had some kind of peril. But he didn't let anybody know that it was detrimental. You know, sometimes I wonder how it looks to the Lord when we're wounded, when we've been attacked, how he views it. No, no. I don't believe that it will end until the devil is in the pit. When you've got these entities trying to open these portals and come up on this earth and do what they're doing, it truly did happen. I know in 2015, they opened a portal. I mean, it was like they vomited just the most putrid stuff on the earth, stuff that you just never thought, ever imagined would we ever have to deal with. All right, I don't say this to make you feel bad. This is not what this is about. But we must face reality. We as the army of the Lord engage with the enemy. We are a threat. And sometimes it's painful. It's hard. But God supplies us. He gets us through it. We need to stop acting like we're so shocked. What? What? We should be like Smith Wigglesworth. When the devil woke him up in the middle of the night, he goes, "Oh, it's just you." Turns over, goes back to sleep. That's somebody that's well acquainted with the tactics, dealing with those kind of tactics. I'm sure he had it. Somebody that raised so many people from the dead. In fact, he used to be called Cruel. Because if he saw a corpse, he would not stop. He would throw them against the wall. He'd do everything he could until that spirit come back. Now just think how he looked to the people doing that. But they come back, didn't they? He wasn't going to back down. He knew his authority, and he knew he had that authority, and he knew that spirit had to come back into that body because he said so, and he wouldn't quit until it came back. That's why he was able to raise so many from the dead. He's not like most Christians. Well, we prayed, nothing happened. Really? Sometimes it doesn't happen on Saturday night. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it takes a little time. But he didn't give up. He persevered. All right. 1 Peter 4. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Think about it. I'm thinking about, you know, the Olympics are going on right now. And they're talking about how horrendous the conditions are over there. But the thing is, look at what those athletes have done the last 4 years. They've gone through pain and agony to be where they're at for a temporal medal around your neck. How much more so us in the army of God? All right. There's an ocean of fair weather saints out there. As long as it requires nothing of them, they're all in. These are the ones that listen to all the truthers and criticize and do nothing. They're just looking to blame, call them liars, or whatever. You see it all the time. I'm sure that if I was one of those, I would probably turn off the comments. Because, you know, they're there doing their research and bringing the truth, and people are criticizing them if they don't get it right. And most of them are evangelicals, skeptics, always gainsaying. All right. It's so sad to see that this has been the way of the church. People go to church to see what they can get out of it. I believe we go to church to get equipped for God's service. This is one of the problems I have with the church. It was because, why didn't we learn any of this? Why didn't we learn the truth of the gospel about, this is about going into an army. This is warfare. Learning to be strong and stand in your armor and occupy the earth. This is what it's really all about. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. JFK quote. Well, I say today it's the same way. That's what we need to ask. Lord, what can I do for you? Instead of, Lord, I need this, I need that, calling 20 prayer chains, I need you to pray for me, I need this, I need that. That's why I don't pray for many people, because that so turns me off. I'm thinking, I said, if you really had a clue about anything, you wouldn't be calling me and asking me to pray for you or texting me. Now, my partners, I pray for. But most of my partners know I'm going to, okay, I'll agree with you. We're going to get the word on this. We're not going to, you know, I'm not going to waste my time while you go shopping and I'm at home praying for you. I'm not going to do it. It's time to grow up. It's time for the reality to set in about what the church is really supposed to do. All right, Hebrews 12. We're to follow in his footsteps. Time to suck it up, buttercup. I've heard that saying a lot. Suck it up, buttercup. Is it fun? No, it's not fun. It's not. Is it doable? Yes, it is. Yeah, Paul liked getting his brains kicked out everywhere he went. I mean, they stoned him to death. They got around him and prayed for him and raised him up, and then he went in the town and probably black and blue, looked like hamburger meat, and stood in the pulpit and taught. Oh yeah, this is loads of fun. Yeah, can you just imagine? Really, we go through very little compared to probably what they went through during that time. And I'm not discounting what you go through. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying here today. I'm just trying to encourage you to be strong in the Lord. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He hated it. What do you think despise means? Despising. To think against or to disesteem. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down in the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. What's he saying? He's saying, you endure the hardness, and you act like all's well. Not always easy. But it's doable, because when you do that, then that's when the grace kicks in for you. It takes you over to a new level. All right, Hebrews 5:8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Suffered here means to experience a sensation or impression, usually painful. Contrary to what we learned in church, this is normal. Paul said this, this is 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. He was learning every day to walk in his body as if nothing was going on, even though he was experiencing all these things. Like he was just even Stephen. We were talking about Charles Capps and how, you know, he'd think, you know, these people, this guy's saying, I don't have any pain, you don't have any problems. He said, that old boy, he must never get sick, never have any problems. No, that's not true. He's making a good confession. He's saying all is well whenever it doesn't appear to be so. But anything to the contrary is false evidence appearing real, right? All right, die there means to die off figuratively or literally. In other words, your flesh is not ruling the roost or calling the shots. You make the general proud. Have you considered my servant Job? And look what Job went through. And look how God rewarded him at the end. Double for his trouble. All right. 2 Corinthians 12. Just something for you to think about. 2 Corinthians 12, see if we've been taught this from the beginning, that this is normal Christian life. Instead of, well, first thing I ever heard in the Pentecostal church was, oh, God's never allowed his children to suffer. Nothing could be a bigger lie. And he doesn't mean suffering from sickness and disease. Suffering comes from going against the grain of things. When you're used to going your own way and doing your own thing, and then the walk of the Spirit, you follow the Lord, and that goes against all of that. There's the suffering. All right, 12:7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Something happened, man, from him saying, Lord, get this off of me, to him saying, I take pleasure in infirmities? Really? In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. Well, you know, he saw the Lord deliver him out of the jail, didn't he? The angel came and opened the gate and let him out. He saw some things. He saw God supernaturally deliver them. And I'm sure that's what he's talking about here. All right, flip over to Matthew 16 real quick. I mean, it was common knowledge. When you put one of them in jail, you better have lots of soldiers around, because they have this way about them that they disappear. Yeah. 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give up in exchange for his soul? See, we're giving up our way of living to follow God and living the way he wants us to and do what he wants us to do. This is gain in your life. Paul instructed Timothy when he was facing some hard times. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1 says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. Be strong in the grace. What kicks grace in? Enduring the hardness. Call upon the grace. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So we're here to please Father. And he's overseeing what we're going through. And he knows what we're going through because we're going through training. Because we've got some big jobs ahead. I don't think anybody realizes. Look at the condition of the body of Christ. Look at the condition of everybody else. You talk about a lot of work ahead. Yeah. All right, endure means to undergo hardship. Donald Trump gave a speech to some cadets, and he said this, Never ever give up. He called it the road less traveled. Well, the Bible calls it that way also. This is Matthew 7. Says, Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Yeah. The Amplified says it's the road that's contracted with pressure. I like that because I feel like, you know, like you're on a conveyor belt and all these little, like Edward Scissorhands, all these little claws are coming out and grabbing at you. That's what I see when I see that scripture. So I just want to encourage y'all tonight to stand strong. Ephesians 6 says, put on the whole armor of God. When you've done all to stand firmly in your place.